Good morning, everyone. It's 8 o'clock. I'll go ahead and call this meeting to order. I'll do a roll call vote. Start with David.
Good morning. David Jordan here.
Kirby Matoxin here.
DeHassa Hill here.
Ernest Stevens III. Gunto.
Jenny Webster here.
Would you mind doing an opening or a prayer, invocation? Down Agan Jokwas, Wunsiose, Chinate Hundu, Ganahila Dungsla. Aguegos Kaji, Adwahe, Nuni, and Guatnegola, Dietino, Ladu, Nain, Yunki Nuha, Onjage, G Sego, Donadli Wanji, Hadi Dots, when you do hook, Yunguatnegol. Aguegos Kaji, Adwahe, Nuni, and Guatnegola, Dietino, Ladu, Nain, Onneganosogu, G Sego, Yunadli Wanji, Hadi Dots, when you do hook, Yunguatnegol. Aguegos Kaji, Adwahe, Nuni, and Guatnegola, Dietino, Ladu, Nain, Onegli Suha, G Sego, Yunadli Wanji, Hadi Dots, when you do hook, Yunguatnegol. Aguegos Kaji, Adwahe, Nuni, and Guatnegola, Dietino, Ladu, Nain, Gahiondis, Awahit, G Sego, Yunadli Wanji, Hadi Dots, when you do hook, Yunguatnegol. Aguegos Kaji, Adwahe, Nuni, and Guatnegola, Dietino, Ladu, Nain, Oyunqua, G Sego, Yunadli Wanji, Hadi Dots, when you do hook, Yunguatnegol. Aguegos Kaji, Adwahe, Nuni, and Guatnegola, Dietino, Ladu, Nain, Onunqua Togu, G Sego, Yunadli Wanji, Hadi Dots, when you do hook, Yunguatnegol. Aguegos Kaji, Adwahe, Nuni, and Guatnegola, Dietino, Ladu, Nain, Asanate Gundahan Daily, G Sego, Yunadli Wanji, Hadi. Dots and do hook in Guatnegol. Aguegos Kaji, Adwahe, Nuni, and Guatnegola, Dietino, Ladu, Nain, Golunda Suha, G Sego, Yunadli Wanji, Hadi Dots, when you do hook in Guatnegol. Aguegos Kaji, Adwahe, Nuni, and Guatnegola, Dietino, Ladu, Nain, Gundilia Suha, G Sego, Yunadli Wanji, Hadi Dots, when you do hook in Guatnegol. Aguegos Kaji, Adwahe, Nuni, and Guatnegola, Dietino, Ladu, Nain, Gunjokwa. G Sego Yunadli Wanji, Hadi Dots, when you do hook in Guatnegol. Aguegos Kaji, Adwahe, Nuni, and Guatnegola, Dietino, Ladu, Nain, Ojita Suha, G Sego Yunadli Wanji, Hadi Dots, when you do hook in Guatnegol. Aguegos Kaji, Adwahe, Nuni, and Guatnegola, Dietino, Ladu, Nain, Oela Suha, G Sego Yunadli Wanji, Hadi Dots, when you do hook in Guatnegol. Aguegos Kaji, Adwahe, Nuni, and Guatnegola, Dietino, Ladu, Nain, Ladi Sagayondese, G Sego in Aliwan, Dido Hadi Dots, when you do hook in Guatnegol. Aguegos Kaji, Adwahe, Nuni, and Guatnegola, Dietino, Ladu, Nain, Yodahlo Sunquajiha, G Sego, Lonadli Wan, Dido Hadi Dots, when you do hook in Guatnegol. Aguegos Kaji, Adwahe, Nuni, and Guatnegola, Dietino, Ladu, Nain, Yuki Sota, Hue Nidale, G Sego, Yuki Nugula, Dadi Dots, when you do hook in Guatnegol. Aguegos Kaji, Adwahe, Nuni, and Guatnegola, Dietino, Ladu, Nain, Yoji Stokwalu, G Sego, Yunadli Wanji, Hadi Dots, when you do hook in Guatnegol. Aguegos Kaji, Adwahe, Nuni, and Guatnegola, Dietino, Ladu, Nain, Gaye, Nyungwedage, G Sego, Yunadli Wanji, Hadi Dots, when you do hook in Guatnegol. Aguegos Kaji, Adwahe, Nuni, and Guatnegola, Dietino, Ladu, Nain, Scanadalio, G Sego, Yunadli Wanji, Hadi Dots, when you do hook in Guatnegol. Aguegos Kaji, Adwahe, Nuni, and Guatnegola, Dietino, Ladu, Nain, Sunquai Disu, G Sego, Yunadli Wanji, Hadi Dots, when you do hook in Guatnegol. Dani. All right, next we have the adoption of the agenda, and I don't believe there's any changes, so a motion to adopt the agenda would be in order.
So moved.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. On to reports. We have the appointed boards, committees, and commissions. We have to accept the Oneida Nation Arts Board fiscal year 17 third quarter report.
Are they here?
No, but the report is submitted.
Motion to accept.
Second.
Have it.
Is there a second to the motion?
Oh, second.
Motion by Ernie, seconded by David. Discussion. Not seeing any discussion, we'll vote on the motion to accept the report. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. On to the next one. That was the third quarter report, so the next is the fourth quarter report for the Arts Board.
Motion to accept.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to accept the Arts Board report. And discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next up is to accept the Anna John Residential Centered Care Community Board report.
Candace is here.
Candace House for the chair for Anna John. I just wanted to accept up a report for FYI, and then I also have some information that from one of the National Tribal Health Conferences I got last year. And I was talking to Jenny about it, and it's a literacy program about different books on easy to read, like when your child gets sick, for senior care. I just thought it would be helpful for different areas of the tribe. So I just wanted to bring that information. I brought a stack of books because I've been working with this lady since last year. So I just brought some, and I do have folders, but I'll bring those after because I have have another meeting I'm supposed to be at. So.
Okay. Did you want to have a seat and give us a short summary of your report?
Sure. So for the last quarter report, we didn't do too much. We've been working on the bylaws, but we were waiting for some word from the LOC so we could continue with those. I again went to the National Tribal Health Conference in Washington this year alongside of Debbie Danforth and Dave Larson. One of the things that I was happy about was in one of the plenary sessions, they had talked about the special diabetes program for Indians that was going to be done with on the 30th, and it was only like the 25th. So when she was in there talking, the executive director for the National Indian Health Board, she said she talked to some of the Congress, and when they bring it up, they're not getting any calls or anything. So she gave everybody an order for everybody to contact your senators. So through that whole session we called, and I actually got word back from Tammy Baldwin's assistant a couple days later, which I thought was really cool. But then a few days later after that, I got a personal email from Tammy Baldwin saying that they did, for the first quarter, extend it for another $37 billion for this program. So I was very, very happy about that. We do a lot of things as far as helping out the Anna John when it comes to Christmas and little harvest dinners and stuff like that, and that's coming up again too. So I'm going to try to put some more word out there to get assistance, because last year the board, out of their pockets, got presents for everybody at the Anna John. And the staffing at Anna John's been pretty consistent as well. We take pride in working for that board and love to continue with the work that we're doing there and seeing what else we can get up for the elders in our community, get some more programs together for even connecting the teens with the elders, because we don't have that anymore. There's a lot of people at the Anna John that don't get visits. So I talked to Debbie and said it would be nice if we could sit down and try to figure out a program to connect them to. when I was in that conference in Washington, these teens, it's called Indigenous, Generation Indigenous, one of the schools that they work with, all of their high school kids are linked to an elder, either if it's at the nursing home or in the community, but they stay with that elder for the whole entire year so they can learn how to respect your elders, the things, how to take care of them. I thought that was just a phenomenal thing. They are willing to come out here and put programs together, and I know I was supposed to be there just for, like, elder things and different programs, but being a member myself, you can't just look at this section. Everything, you know, kind of goes into everything, so I thought that was a really good one as well. So I guess that's all I have.
Okay, and I do note in the report, too, that there's some questions about the Nebraska petition for the health board and for the Anna John board.
Yeah.
So I think, we haven't scheduled anything around it yet, but I know we're going to have that discussion with the committee and your board, too, about how we're going to potentially have to reorganize the board.
Yeah.
So I guess just look forward to hearing from a notice for having a meeting.
Okay. Well, we did have I had a meeting last night. Since Jenny's new to our board, I had her and Debbie and Dave and all of us came together last night, and that was some of the stuff that we talked about. So we're anticipating it, but.
Any other questions or comments? David?
I noticed that there's three vacancies coming up on your board.
Joshua Hicks was just sworn in yesterday, and that replaced the person for July, finally. There's two coming up in November, and then two again in January. So.
Okay, it looked like there was two in July, and then two in November.
There was only one.
Oh, I see that one.
Janice is
you're right. 18. Yeah, she's there for another year yet. Okay.
Yep, Janice is here till 18.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And we already did get the applications from the secretary for this next for November.
Okay.
So that's on our next board meeting.
Okay. I'll make a motion to accept the report.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any more discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Oppose, abstentions, motion carries. Thank you. Next up is we have the Environmental Resource Board. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm just going to go over some highlights for us, please.
Okay. The board, thank you, by the way, for letting me defer our third quarter report. It got a little hectic with all the stuff going on at Ridgeview. So we went over the hunting, fishing, and trapping regulations, fine schedule for violations, and approved that. There was a group that had of tribal members that wanted to come out and participate in the state crane count. So we gave them special access to areas that are restricted to tribal member only. We're going over currently the laws that we are caretakers of, trying to take out the rulemaking portion. So we've been doing that the last two quarters. For special project types teams, we're basically driving the management activities for the Oneida Lake. So we're pretty active on that. We're in phase two, which I'm sure you got a update on that yesterday. we also, the board went over the power purchase agreement with the solar deployment grant, which I see got approved yesterday as well. We're looking at now, we started working on a communication for hunting, fishing, and trapping to get the community more involved in different ways. So when we go through to make the amendments this year, if a person is too, you know, shy to come forward, so they have different ways to come in and give their feedback.
Mr. Chair?
Jenny?
I'll make a motion to accept the report.
The third quarter?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote on the third quarter report. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. And then that takes your third quarter report, and we still have the fourth quarter report.
I kind of combined my talk into both of them. Al Manders wanted to be here. He's our new chair. Yet he gets grandson off this morning. So.
Good morning.
So, first of all, I'd like to thank the business committee for your service. I know it's frequently a thankless job, so I want to recognize the service you do and thank our staff. We have a great group, and hopefully we will continue to work as well as things have gone. Chad does a super job. So
thank you. So I basically went over our activities for the last.
A little bit.
Oh, okay. Is there anything you'd like to bring up?
No, I think things are going well, and I hope they will continue to do so. To give just a little bit of thought, I was out with my grandson, Fez Hunting, and to see the expression on his face when his dad, well, he thought his dad got a pheasant, but the idea that the opportunities are there that weren't, they were there when I was growing up, and then all of a sudden land became posted in Tahasa, you know that, and now it's like, you know, we have fantastic as a tribal member, the opportunities, and we appreciate what you guys do to continue to do that and expand it. But other than that, I think the reports are pretty much self-explanatory. You guys keep up the good work. And good luck. And you new guys, congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't know, what anything else that we need to, if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer.
So any questions on the fourth quarter report?
Make a motion to accept the fourth quarter report.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote on the fourth quarter report. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up, we have the Personnel Commission FY17 fourth quarter report.
The library board?
Mr. Chairman, we have a handout for the library board because they are short-staffed, and they actually had it, I had it emailed out to everybody yesterday, but it's a handout.
All right, so we're on the library board.
Motion to accept the report.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote on the motion. All those
question. There was the federal awarded grant. It said budgeted $20,000 and they spent $33,000. And how can you spend more money than a grant is? Am I reading that wrong?
Nope, reading it correctly.
Just says check forthcoming from agency.
That's.
The one above it on the top, there's a positive variance of $42,000. I don't know if that's a. That's tribal contribution, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Jenna.
Because there's nobody here from the library board, which you can ask David to ask those questions of the library board.
Yeah, I can follow up and get back to everybody.
I, I do know they've got a program down there, and I think it was only running for the month of October. I've got the flyer in my office, but I just can't recall what it was. But I know that exhibit ends at the end of this month.
Okay. So I didn't see that right there. Check coming.
Any more discussion on the motion? Accept the report. Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next up is the Personnel Commission.
So we're way ahead of ourselves. Do we hold up? Child protectors until 8:30. It's 20 after. We could always
fill in with the standing committee meetings that the business committee's on. So like we can call in like the LOC for that one, or land commission or land claim land commission. They won't come in. They'll just submit.
Because they're not required to.
Just standing committees. So.
Yeah, like finance committee, quality of life. Those ones we can probably just do.
Yeah. So the Personnel Commission is on until 8:45. About 20 minutes to do the standing committee ones, I guess.
Carol Silva is here.
Kind of the same, though.
It just seems like we've got a lot of activities, too.
Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. Oh, they'd rather be here. Okay.
Usually let the like the arts board slide because they don't have stipends, and so that's usually the only board we let slide.
Yeah, the I think we were requiring appointed boards and committees to be here, pretty much other than the arts board because they're.
And the Latin depends on what's in their bylaws as well.
Does the committee want to move to the standing committee section of the agenda and take care of those? All right, so under item C of the agenda, we're going to move to the standing committees, and the first item under there is to accept the Community Development Planning Committee third quarter report. I think it was just a note in there, right? Starts on page 120. Mm-hmm. Jenny?
I have a question on page 123, the Indian Community Development Block Grant. Is that the one that was denied by the granting agency that we didn't get?
I don't recall if we got it or not.
It almost looks like it's the one that they're applying for 18.
Oh, for 18, okay.
Yeah, because it's on the bottom there. It says 2,000. They put $200,000 in for the match for 18.
Okay.
I guess a motion would be in order to accept the third quarter report.
I make a motion to accept the third quarter report, and for the record, the fourth quarter was the closeout report. So that would be concluded. Oh, there was that. Okay. Take that back, then. There was no closeout report. So I'll just make a motion to accept the third quarter report.
Second.
Motion has been made and second. Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote to accept the CDPC third quarter report. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Fourth quarter, there was one meeting, that's why they
accept this
one. Fourth quarter thing?
The.
So, do I make a motion to accept an update regarding the community development? Fourth quarter meeting or report is not submitted due to no meetings being held July, August, September?
Yeah. Oh, you gotta turn your mic on so I can get it recorded. Yep, that would be in.
Motion to accept the Quality of Life Committee Fiscal Year 17
CDPC?
Fourth Quarter Report. The what?
Community Development Planning Committee.
CDPC. Noting that the 2017 end of term report was not submitted and no meetings were held during August and September.
Second.
Motion made by Kirby, seconded by Jenny. Any questions?
On the 1A. Just gonna jump down the quality line. Same difference.
Okay, excuse me, I read the wrong one, and it was accept the update regarding the Community Development Planning Committee Fiscal Year 17 Fourth Quarter Report, noting a report was not submitted due to no meetings held in July, August, September. How about that?
Second or concur?
Yep.
All right. Motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next up, we have to accept the Legislative Operating Committee Fiscal Year 17 Fourth Quarter Report.
So moved.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Discussion?
Yeah. There was one on here that I was looking at. Does corporate law have a timeline on it?
No, corporate law doesn't have a timeline on it. What we had a work meeting with the treasurer's office on Tuesday afternoon, I think. And I think the conclusion that the group has come to is that the LRO is going to develop a legislative plan that entails corporate, universal, commercial code, secure transactions, and sort of work with Troy Parr to develop a plan as to how to, in what, strategically, what order to do that in, what makes the most sense. So I reached out to Troy this week, and I hope to start working with him. But I think what's going to happen is we're going to either add these laws to the business title in the Code of Laws or create a new title in the Code of Laws and sort of develop a strategy as to how to tackle each of these.
Okay, and one of the headers is business?
Yes, there is a business title.
And so this would be just a corporate or?
We could have, we could add the laws that I'm talking about now to the business title. We could add a new title. Maybe it's called corporate. Maybe it's called commerce. So that's one of the first decisions we have to make. And then which laws make sense to do first?
Okay. And then I had one more question was the criminal code.
Criminal code is in a sort of a research status right now. My understanding is that Daniel may want to do some shifting. We haven't had the LLC hasn't discussed it yet, but that he might want to do some shifting and switch that from criminal code to drug court. But we haven't sat down to have that conversation yet.
Okay. That was one of the things I have like kind of packaged was because I didn't see the drug court on there, and
right.
Then we talked with the judiciary about establishing a drug court. And so I don't know, Joanne, we have concurrent jurisdiction. Is that correct? Criminal statutes. I had an understanding that we didn't have jurisdiction over criminal activities within the state, but I had a back and forth, I think, with Becky before about having concurrent jurisdiction.
The jurisdiction of the tribe is limited under federal law in regards to criminal. There is some there. They can both move forward simultaneously.
Okay.
Is that 5 years and $5,000 or $10,000 is kind of the limitation.
Pretty much, yes.
Okay.
And then it turns into the jurisdiction transfer over to the state under the PL 280 is kind of trumps all of that.
Okay. All right. I think those are all the questions I had.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Was there who seconded the motion to accept the report?
Me or David?
Jenny? Okay. Just want to make sure it was seconded. I couldn't remember. Is there any other more discussion on the report? All right. Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. Next, we have accept the update regarding the quality of life fiscal year 17 fourth quarter report. The motion will be very, I'll just read it. Noting that the 2014-17 end of term report was submitted and no meetings were held during August and September.
So moved.
So moved. Second.
All right. Motion has been made and seconded. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. And last part of this section is to accept the Finance Committee fiscal year 17 fourth quarter report.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Is there any discussion on the report? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Oppose? Abstention? Motion carries. That takes care of the standing committee section of the reports. And personnel commission wasn't scheduled till for another 10 minutes yet. Are you waiting on? Is it just gonna be you? Can you come up early, or are you waiting? Okay. All right, personnel commission report is up. You just want to go over some of the highlights of your report.
Good morning.
Let
me pull it out. I don't know if any of you had time to read this report. It was submitted early on the 10th, I believe. We did have to engage with API for an investigation on the employee protection. That report has been completed. I think the issue, and I don't know if the commission is going to have to meet with the business committee regarding internal audit. In terms of investigating the protected disclosures or not, how that's going to work, but that has been an issue. It's ongoing. And I'm just going from the comments that were made by the chair on the report. I'm not sure if that discussion is going to need to be held in executive session or how you guys want to do that, but it's a discussion that's going to have to take place in light of the email I received yesterday.
Kirby.
And what was the email yesterday?
An email went out from myself to.
It's requested that this discussion occur in executive session if it is to continue regarding any specific case or controversy in front of the personnel commission and any emails related thereto.
I would like to address the process though. I don't know if that needs to be an exec or not.
All you guys, up to you. We got time. We're ahead of schedule if you want to go into exec for a little bit. And
motion to move into executive to discuss.
Second.
All right, motion to go into executive session at 8:38. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries.
And motion to come out of executive session at 8:55.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. David?
Two questions, Gina. On the personnel line, I'm looking at the actual, and I'm looking at the budgeted amount, and the actual is 87,200, and the budgeted was 76,063 for 17. I'm just wondering. But then there's another number, it says year to date, and then all of a sudden there's another one that says budgeted 91,000. So I just, you know, for 17 projected was 102,000.
On
page 44, it's the one with all your financials on.
So I'm at personal.
Personnel.
Okay.
So for 18, it's like 101,775. The projected is 102,412. But then it says for annual budget for 2017, it says 91,000. And then right to the left of it, it says 76,000. So I just want to know which one is the accurate number. Because then the actual for year to date 2017 is 87,200.
Looking at the numbers here, I don't know.
Just wondering, has there been any overtime or anything? No?
There has been overtime.
There has been?
Yes, Geraldine has, well, HRD, they moved all these admins that used to be salary. Now they're all hourly. I don't know if it's true with your staff, but they did that in the organization, and she was forced to go to hourly. And then there was some kind of lawsuit, and so everything was on hold. I'm sure you guys are aware of all that.
Yep, I remember.
So the forecast was with any kind of increases, and mind you, Linda did help me with this budget. There was overtime, but it's not to the point where it's like $10,000 with the overtime. It's not that much. And we did budget for possible increases in salary just in case.
Okay. And my second question is, when I was liaison, we had meeting. You were having meetings scheduled for the employment law comments coming from the Personnel Commission?
Yeah.
Where is that at?
Those are pretty much they met several times because they went through the front to the back. Then they started going through that employee handbook. So they're pretty much almost completed with that part.
Okay, because we would like to see them sent over because I think the deadline was a while ago. And we want to get started on that. Kirby himself wants to get going on that law, so we are waiting on your comments.
That's what you're waiting on?
Yeah.
Okay. So can you send me something, and then I will forward that to the commission, and then they do have, like, in terms of the employment law they've gone through, and they started to go through just the section that pertained to them in the handbook. I think they're done with that. So we can
okay.
do that.
All right. Yeah, I'll have something sent over. Thank you.
Okay.
Make a motion to accept the report.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions, motion carries. Jenny, you have a follow-up motion.
I'd like to make a motion to request a secretary to schedule a meeting between the Business Committee and the United Personnel Commission regarding the employee protection policy.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up, we have the accept the Oneida Police Commission's fiscal year 17 fourth quarter report, and we're right on schedule.
Morning. Good morning, Oneida Police Commission, Sandy Ravelis.
Morning. You just want to go through some highlights of your report?
Oh, you want me to go through some highlights?
Yeah.
Well, first I'm going to go through that was not in the report is that our chief was honored at the Harvard Project on American...
Hang on. It wasn't me. It was the Native American Drug and Gang Initiative.
Oh, okay. Anyway, so he brought the book to meeting. And he just brought it, and he's on page 28 if you're interested. Okay, we had a busy quarter. We went through our bylaws because the last time they had been approved was in 2002. And we have, we've got it changed and completed and ready to go. Let's see. We attended Crime Against Children in Indian Country, Drug Identification in Wisconsin, Servicing Victims of Crime through the National Criminal Justice Training Center, and also training in National Alliance for Drug Endangered Children. And they were all very informative and very useful. What else do we want to say?
our drug overdoses were from July, September 2016 was zero, and July, September to 2017, 10. Which is really something that we need to be concerned about. And unless you have any questions, that's about it.
Any questions on the report?
Can you say that again? The overdoses through, was it September through?
Yeah, go ahead.
So the drug overdoses we started keeping track of as a request from the business committee at the last quarterly meeting. So from the same time last year, from July to September, there was zero. July to September of 17, there was 10. There were a variety of different means. What I mean by that, they weren't all heroin. There were other types of pills and that sort of stuff. But in total, there was 10 of them.
Okay. Yes, I just heard it wrong. I was sorry. I know we talked about this in our meetings with the community and just how moving into in a direction that other communities have, like having Narcan, those things like available. That those are like really different schools of thought, I guess. And I don't know if we're ready for that. I don't know if we even want to go in that direction. And I think those are some of the things that having Narcan available in other areas rather than just the police officers and who else has the Narcan.
It's just all of our officers and probably over at the health center.
Okay. I know some communities, they have like other places, other service providers would have the ability to have and distribute through a process.
I think the folks up at Behavioral Health have them, or has it. If you're asking about deploying it in the community, having community members do that, have that resource available to them?
No, not
there's a program, and Eric helped me with the name of it that just distributes that. There's a group that helps distribute like the needles, the needle exchange program.
Yeah,
I think what they're doing is they're including those people that are concerned that they have somebody in their family or somebody that they know. They're providing them with Narcan also. I don't remember what the name of that group is.
Yeah, I've read it somewhere too, but also in other areas, in other municipalities, they also loosen the calling in. If you call in, because usually what happens, you know, if somebody overdoses, they just take off and they leave the person there. And so the person is more susceptible to dying at that point. And so there's other options. I know these are kind of different schools of thought that I've even struggled with myself, that other communities had to do rather than having someone die. These people are, you know, can stick around and, you know, get the help they need as well, but not being, you know, at risk of being arrested. And so there's other communities that are doing those type of activities, and I know that's something that we at least need to consider, you know, in situations like that, so they don't just take off on the person overdosing. And so I've just been doing a lot of reading, a lot of communities doing different things and just prevent the deaths and the overdoses. And so if we're not discussing it, then, you know, I think just, you know, it's something that we need to at least say, hey, we considered it. It's not the direction we wanted to go, but we did consider it, and here's some other things we could do instead. So
my first reaction is that there's a very fine line that we need to look with that, because, you know, trying to get our arms around the issue with the heroin epidemic and understanding, you know, with our resources, we're not specifically looking for the front line, the end user. That's not who we're looking for. We're not looking for that street level dealer. We're with our drug task force and the resources that we have available, we're looking for that mid to high end person or group of people that are bringing those drugs in. I'm not saying that, you know, the person with it in their pocket, the street level dealer, that we're not looking to hold them accountable, but at the same time, we're looking at trying to get those mid to high level suppliers, and that's kind of the philosophy that all of the drug task forces across Wisconsin are looking at doing, is to look at that making an impact on that supply, because the front or the street level dealers, you know, we can arrest them, put them in jail, but at the same time, there's somebody else sitting there waiting to simply take over that role. So that's proven not to be so effective over the years, and I think that's where that paradigm shift has come in, where they're looking to go up the chain further to hold those folks accountable. So, you know, that kind of addresses what you're talking about, for people to understand that it's okay to call in an overdose. But I think we still need to be wary of that, because we'll still have some questions for them. Mm-hmm. To try to help us go up that chain. So, you know, it's that kind of that balancing act that we need to be wary of. For 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah. I think what maybe we in the business committee can help too, because I think there's this kind of notion that you guys aren't policing, community policing. You guys are just law enforcement. Get the bad guy and look mean and, you know, flash around guns. And so I think the business committee can really help. I was talking with a few other people, just having like a community profile of different officers, you know, and just kind of show who they are. They're actually from the community, and this is what they do and how they engage. And I've just been hearing some of these community meetings are just throwing random comments out there, and it's not really true. You know, Ludgy and Ralph and those guys, I see them guys all, you know, all around. I see Eric, I see them out of their car and talking with Kit. And so I think that's something we could help. You know, I think that's proven strategy across all communities, is when you have officers from your own community, they're more effective and they're more engaging and they're more trusted within the community. And I think the business committee helping out with that, because rather than seeing you guys come around the corner when it's going to, you know, OPD's here, or, you know, what we used to say, the vice, you know, is coming. And so I think that's something we can do with Gullah Wee Sox, is, you know, do some of those things to be more engaged with the officers and work on the perceptions that are out there, especially with this going on right now. You guys only come to enforce the law. You don't come, you're not the supermen that are supposed to prevent everything. And that's kind of what the perception usually is. You guys are supposed to know something before it even happens. And so, yeah, I just look forward to kind of working, you know, further with Eric, you know, on that's working with the TAP and how we can kind of further these actions. The one thing, last thing, sorry, is just how to coordinate with those people who are willing to share information that don't want to be, you know, we keep telling them that, you know, you can call the hotline, it's completely anonymous, but at what point, because I get a lot of information, I say, I can't share, this is just hearsay, basically, and, you know, you have to see something happen, you can't just go in a house and say, yeah, there's dealing here, you have to actually have something, you know, to really go on, and so, you know, I'll talk with you guys on the side and see how we can kind of firm that up, because people are just, they're willing, you know, to share information, but from what I hear, it's just kind of hearsay about, you know, I heard something, go get them. And I just try and tell them it doesn't really work that way. So I'll have a sidebar with you guys and see how we can work on that.
Okay.
Gina?
Yeah.
I was just wondering, I had a couple questions, like particularly with the drugs. You guys have 39 for July, September 2016, then you have 41 for July, September 2017. But that doesn't tell me anything, just you had some kind of drug-related incidents. Is there any way you guys can break this down to show, like, when you actually arrest someone for drugs or if you deal with reviving people with the Narcan? Like, that would be helpful to know. How many, you just said 10 since, was it 10 in a year or 10 in the last?
3 months.
3 months.
Okay. So does this 41, the number for 41, does that represent 41 drug overdoses for the year or just 41 incidents with drugs?
41 incidences with drugs.
Okay. So it'd be helpful to know if the overdoses in this, are they included in the 41?
No, those are coded as medical calls, and then we pull them out separately to understand what they are. There is actually 18 overdoses, but 8 of those in those 3 months were due to mental health issues.
Okay, so however it works with a drug overdose, whether it's pills or whatever, how is that identified in this report? Is it just identified in the drugs, that section?
I don't understand what you're asking.
So I would never know that there were any overdoses by looking at your report, because I'm assuming it's just going to be under the drugs. So that was a question.
The overdoses are broken out by themselves on number 8. That's on page
55.
The next to the last page.
Okay. Drug overdoses. So we had 10. Okay. So then is there somewhere in the report where you identify how many arrests that you have made in connection with drugs? People dealing drugs. I know you have a drug task force and all that. Is that identified in this report anywhere so that we know? Because the perception is you guys ain't doing anything. I know that's incorrect, but that is a perception. And anytime someone asks me anything, and I'm not close with OPD to know any of the internal going-ons, but I'm assuming you guys are trying to do stings or trying to do control buys, all that, so that you can actually arrest someone. But is that kind of information identified, like someone was arrested and convicted of? Will you get to a point where you identify that in your report? Because we never know unless we look at crime, Green Bay crimes reports, and that's when you see everybody that's been arrested for drugs, drug paraphernalia, heroin, all that. That's where we see it if we look online, but I'm not sure with OPD how we...
All right, so under and after that page, so we're like 1, 2, 3, 4, on page 5, it's under heading number 4 for the custodial arrest. You'll see...
Okay.
The third column there is the drug-related custodial arrest. So for this quarter in Brown County, there was 59 of them. In Ottagamie County in this quarter, there was 24 of them. The difference between those custodial arrests and those drug-related incidences mm-hmm. is that many times there are more than one person that is arrested for something that's drug-related, or it may there's a hierarchy that we have to follow for this report, because this is a computer-generated report, and all of these things, there's a different hierarchy about how it is captured. What I mean by that is that if there is something that, say it's a substantial battery, which is higher up in the hierarchy, but they also have some drugs on them, it's going to be captured as that battery instead of the drugs. So that's why there's that difference. And that's also the reason why we break that out to the specific quarterly numbers for those types of things, for the drug-related. So you're all total, just in this quarter, for the last 3 months, we've had 83 drug-related arrests.
Thank you for that. The last question, comment, is at one time, OPD had a liaison that worked with Oneida Housing Authority, and whenever there were issues within the housing areas,
particular HUD-owned houses or mutual help rentals, all that, the liaison would then report that to housing authority. Like, you know, at this residence, we arrested two people for drugs. At this residence, there was a sex crime. At this residence, blah, blah, blah. So that housing could stay on top of that because they have a lease in place with every resident that they have zero tolerance for drugs. So I'm wondering, are you communicating that information to housing authority so that they can at least get a grasp on the drug dealings that are going on in the housing area? Because there's a lot in housing, in HUD housing, that people are buying brand new homes, all of a sudden they're dealing heroin out of their homes. So I thought that's important for housing to know, because then they can maintain those leases, and if they have issues, illegal activity is specifically, I mean, everything's important, but the drugs are killing our kids. So how is that information, is that relayed to housing?
The process that you're referring to is when it was prior to the reorganization of the housing authority, and you were on the board back then. So I do know that you understand what that process was. After the reorganization, I think your question is, do we still have something like that in place? The short answer is yes, but it's not as thorough as it used to be, because we had somebody that was, one of our officers was on the board and was able to share that information quite readily. Those processes, when we do come up with issues in any of the housing sites, we do have a process in place for the housing authority to be notified. The unfortunate part is that because there is an arrest, we can't simply give them a copy of the report and for them to act on it. And many times they can't act on it until after the conviction, which, you know, generally takes six months to a year for the court process to follow through.
The reason why I bring that up is because the tribe owns those homes, and through HUD and through those various HUD laws, that they do have legal binding agreements.
Gina, I'm going to have to cut you off. We got 5 minutes for public comment.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
That's what you changed?
Part of the business committee meetings law.
Okay.
Yeah, so your time is up.
So I hope you guys can bring this up then.
Yeah, we're going to, there's continued discussion. I'll call on Ernie and then Kirby.
I was going to say, you know, can I guess some echo and support the comment about the balance that you mentioned that we have to utilize, you know, as a community and as, you know, as a police force. And I just want to, I guess, agree with that, because I don't want to get caught up in focusing too much on this side of things when there's still opportunities to engage in this side, you know, and, you know, like the officers that Brandon mentioned and all you guys that engage with our kids. To me, one of the most important elements of all this is those who are still able to be influenced. You know, and that's what I focus on, you know, because I feel like I'm capable of addressing that issue. I'm not an officer, so I can only just try to work with these kids. So I think as we start looking at resources, as we start looking at the different forms of resources that we utilize, that's where I see the balance there. And just want to let you guys know, I guess I think I'm agreeing with what you're saying, and for the rest of the committee to understand that too, as we start discussing, having these in-depth discussions on where resources are being utilized, that we still focus on that. And that may fall out of your purview. That might go into, okay, it's government services, that's recreation, that's this. I just don't want them to be underutilized as we look at resources.
Kirby?
Yeah, and I guess my question is to Chief Rich Van Bokstel. When you mentioned the Oneida Police Department had a representative from the Police Department on Oneida Housing Authority Board at one time?
It wasn't a representative. It was one of our officers that was, I don't know if they were appointed or elected, whatever it was on the Housing Authority Board, back before the reorganization when it came back under the tribal structure.
Was that appointed then to the business committee or the police department?
We didn't have anything to do with it. The police department didn't have anything to do with it. That appointment, or however it was, however that board was put in place.
Yeah, it was appointment by the business committee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think he was appointed based as a community member who just happened to work for us.
I just like that idea of having a police officer on that board. Maybe that's what needs to happen by the business
community. There is no longer a board. That board was dissolved. So there's no longer a housing authority board.
All right. I think the missing connection was there is the workers that went in, they're in a moral conflict of whether or not when something happens, whether to report the people. And so we had to remind the director that this is HUD funds, NASDA funds, that they have to do the job when someone's in there and you see illegal activity or drug paraphernalia that has to be reported. And so those are one of the concerns that we shared with the director, that we had to make sure that those workers that were going into the homes understood that. And I think that plain sight training, I don't know if they had that plain sight training where they could have some tin foil right in front of them and not really know what it is, or a burnt can right in front of them and not know what that is, because it has a particular smell, but it's not like marijuana. You have a really distinct smell and you understand what that is. It's like a burnt, I don't even know what it is either, but there's this distinct smell. And if you don't know what that is, if you don't know what you're looking at, you can just glance over and then absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. And there may be residue on the walls, that they may be endangering themselves or the officers that go in. So those are some of the things that we talked about with the area that they had that plain sight training as well.
They're able to identify those things and report it to the proper people.
Okay. Yeah, I understand where Gina was coming from when she said the way the situation was before when a police officer was on a housing authority board, and maybe it's someone at Oneida Housing being on the Oneida Police Department Commission, so that communication can still be there, because to me that might be part of the missing link with the drug dealings that are going on, and I understand too that tribal members that live in tribal housing are Oneida Housing sites sign an agreement that no alcohol or drugs, and so maybe there's someone from housing being on the police commission, just so they're up to date on what's kind of going on.
Personally, I don't think that will do anything. I think simply re-looking at our processes and how we, because that information, it probably needs to go to them sooner than once a month when I meet with the commission. And I think it's more of that, if there's some sort of exigent circumstance, we simply reach out to the housing authority right then when it's going on to have those things addressed. And going through the processes and understanding the information, the intelligence, the behind-the-scenes things that we're doing, we can't readily share that stuff to protect the integrity of that investigation. So I think if we simply I'll reach out to the housing authority to figure out a different process to get more stuff reported to them real-time to help them understand and to help them hold those folks that are doing things accountable as it relates to their leases and their rental agreements. And I think that will help make an impact in those housing sites.
All right. Thanks for all the good discussion this morning on the police commission report. I think kind of get moving on with our agenda here this morning. So a motion would be in order to accept the Oneida Police Commission Fiscal Year 17 Fourth Quarter Report.
Motion to accept.
Second.
Second. Report.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right, thank yous. Next up, we have the Oneida Powwow Committee Fiscal Year 17 Fourth Quarter Report.
You guys want more of those? I can use more. Did you want more of those books?
Will you sign it?
Yeah.
The autograph it for
sign your picture?
The signing is that we'll be at White Eagles at 6:30 tonight. $25 or,
oh, okay.
Or Bud Light.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Connie, you want to go over some highlights of your report?
Okay, so the biggest thing I wanted to go over was some of the concerns and suggestions you guys had at our last quarterly report. And so they started right down at the bottom of the first page. And the first one was admissions were low for this Powell, and you guys were looking for an admission analysis back. So this is what I just handed out, the admission totals for the last couple of years. And we weren't really low on our admissions this year overall. It was just Friday night that we were low. And I believe that was because of the huge amount of rain we had right before grand entry on Friday. And then we had rain predicted the entire weekend. The weather kind of makes our admissions, you know, if it's good or bad. So you guys suggested maybe to lower the admission prices. But I don't know if I should do that because our budget is fairly low, and our admission prices are half of the budget that comes back in to pay for our prize payouts at the 4th of July Powwow.
So what do you think of the capacity of the grounds? Because I know what is this, there's a balance there, too, because if we lower it, then we get, you know, how much can the grounds actually handle? And so I think that's the balance that we have, that you guys would have to look at is we could have it for free, but then if we have 10,000 people, I mean, that's going to create kind of an environment.
We're already at max capacity on as far as parking goes when we have a good admission night. We fill up the Turtle School all the way over, and there's literally no more room to put people. So I don't know about lowering the admission prices. I did include some of the other Powwows, the Summerfest Powwow, Kashina Powwow, you know, some surrounding ones. And theirs are a little bit more than ours. You know, Kashina Powwow is $10 for a daily pass on Saturday and then $15 for the weekend. So, and I feel we're in line with our prices for admissions. So that was the first one. And then it was suggested that we lower our vendor prices. But I included a little chart in here showing our vendors since 2014. And we're steadily going up. And this past year, we maxed out our vendors, and we can't do that again because the electricity couldn't hold up, you know, for that amount of vendors. So we're going to have to bring it down a little bit. But again, this revenue goes towards our budget. You know, our budget is just over $100,000, which isn't much, you know, to do these three powwows. So, again, I don't think we should lower our vendor prices as suggested. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
Well, even if you don't, it's good for you guys to look at that and to analyze that,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then another suggestion was that our schedule was too short for the vendors for the amount of food that they're bringing in and selling. We don't really do our schedule around the vendors at all. We do it around, you know, how much specials we have that night, how much dance categories we have to get through, what the weather is going to be like. If we have rain coming in the forecast, we have to try to get through as quickly as we can because we can no longer use the Turtle School for a backup plan. We would just have to stop the powwow if it rained too much. You guys have any feedback on that?
Yeah, I don't know. There's a mix, I guess, because I know this last powwow, it ended early, mm-hmm. And I know I heard that a lot of vendors too. It's like, you know, we have a bunch of food left, and Mm-hmm. We're expecting another hour or two to go. And then other times it was, you know, it was kind of extended. So I think there's a balance there that you, I think, leave it up to you guys for sure.
Okay.
But then one suggestion, I like the spotlight dances mm-hmm. a lot. I'd rather have it, you know, a personal bias is rather have that a smoke dance spotlight, mm-hmm. you know, exhibition. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, I think everything was pretty good. The lining was good around the edges, and mm-hmm. I think everything was pretty good that I liked this year. It ran pretty smooth. It did get done early. A lot of the dancers liked that.
Yeah,
you know, when you get done yeah. early. So I think that's kind of what we want to do is bring the dancers in, so everyone can see the dancers and the mm-hmm. and the drums. So mm-hmm. I was pretty satisfied with this year's.
Okay.
I just want to confirm, did I hear you say because they cannot utilize the turtle school if it rains during the powwow Friday, Saturday, or Sunday? If it rains, the powwow just stops?
Correct. Yes.
Does it start after it stops raining?
Well, yeah, it will, you know, depending on what the forecast is. If it's going to stop within an hour.
The option moving it to the turtle school, what's the hiccup there that we can't go there? Then one other thing on your report on 2017, it says food 2017. I think the second one's supposed to be craft.
The total?
Yeah, you have food vendors, 13 food vendors for 2017, and for I think it's supposed to be crafts. You got?
Oh, 20. Yeah, just it the is. Second line. That is supposed to be crafts, sorry.
Ernie? Yeah, I just wanted to kind of reiterate some of the things that I mentioned at the meeting I was at last month with them, to kind of, you know, echo again that we'll leave the stuff up to them. I think that, you know, they've figured these things out every year as issues arise, and I think couple examples like going to the infrastructure needs, you know, that it is a concern to allow more vendors, because even things that were affected, and I never got to the details of this. I think it was there was no one on hand to help. We didn't have any events down at the lacrosse field, and on one hand I was told outside of this isn't the powwow committee, but someone there had mentioned that there was a power issue, that they couldn't utilize the lights because they were being used by vendors. I don't think that was the case. But just things like that, you know, going into it, which kind of goes into another general, not concern, but just a suggestion that, again, is outside of the committee's purview, but I think they'll be a part of it, is engaging in more partnerships. You know, and even though the committee, this is their event that they plan, it's also a, you know, an Oneida Tribal Community event, and so people need to take more ownership and get involved and work with the committee to figure out a balance, not just for infrastructure needs, but just events and involvement. A couple of examples I used was years past, you know, the 3-on-3 basketball tournament. I'll go as far back as the breakdancing contest. These things that really made this unique, you know, we're kind of going into it's just powwow, and the diversity is just powwow events, where this could be a number of things, including, I think there was a parade this year, right?
Yes.
So that came back, so that's good. Things like that are going on around and inside the community. Friday is a bit of a downtime. There's less cars in the parking lot, so what can we do during that time where we know there's not as much powwow events going on that has people down on the grounds? So I know it gets hot, so it's not just about keeping them there, but just things that to kind of balance with it. And I think that's going to take some community partnerships and communication. So I suggested to them, and I talked to other groups, to, you know, get on the committee agenda and have this conversation to see where they fit. And so it's not just them utilizing their resources for it, that maybe that can alleviate some of their budgetary restrictions to have someone else come in and make it a better, bigger event without overdoing it. I think that's possible. We've seen it happen. And so that's a couple of things I shared with them, and that I still feel we can do with it. And also, too, real quickly,
yesterday, you know, again, great congratulations and thank you for your service. I think, you know, things like this that recognized you as an employee, but you've also served on this committee for a while. Mm-hmm. So I think that should be included in that time as well. So thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so then we haven't had any powwow since our last quarterly report, so we're just planning now for the Three Sisters powwow, and then we'll start again in July or January on the 4th of July powwow. And there's just some little things in here on what we've done to plan so far.
All right, thank you. Joanne?
I had an interesting experience this past weekend with the Hunting Moon powwow. I'm not sure. I know I saw Daniel there. I'm not sure if others attended. I was unaware that that was an internet-streamed powwow, that there's an internet site out there that this is what they do. And it's something that maybe our powwow committee could look into as something to enhance the visibility of what we're doing. I think they videotape it and sell the video, the DVDs of it, but okay. It streamed live during that time period. It was an indoor powwow, so that does make a difference. But I think it's something I saw, and I thought we might be able to do that here also. So something to consider in the future.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Ernie?
I was going to say that's a good point, you know, because before we had Facebook Live, we had it's still out there, but Ustream is an app that I used to use as a communications person for. I used to do it. I did it at Big Apple, and I did it at the powwow. And it was just certain events I would go and I would you know advertise it. Hey, at 3 o'clock, I'm going to do something on this, and make sure and check it out. And I think powwow faced some internet issues. The Big Apple, I was able to actually get comments and commentary. I think it was the pie contest and something else. So it's doable. I just think maybe it's a question for MIS to see if we have the capacity out there to do, you know, streaming and things like that with our own resources. Because I can tell you now that if we outsource that, it's going to be very expensive to have someone come in. And I think it's a good thing, but that's a question of, do we need to enhance, can we do a pilot test with our Wi-Fi for that? I don't know.
Rosa just reminded me, we did try live streaming 1 year, and the cost to run a cord underneath to get to the grounds from the building was really high. Yeah, that's what it was. But, I mean, we can look into it again, but that's what the issue was, because we did try it like about 2 years ago, I think it was. Yeah. But we could check into it again.
Yeah, I know it's going to be costly. I just think it's something maybe just in general for our grounds, if we can expand our – I know they're looking at those things, so I'll just see what – maybe just get a check in on that with our Wi-Fi and enhancing that. Because we've talked – other areas have brought it up too, where if we don't have Wi-Fi access here, it does get expensive when we start talking about, fiber.
Mm-hmm. That's what it was.
Yeah, and I know IMS has looked at that, but there's – cost-effective ways to just add towers. I think we arguably should have a tower on the power grounds versus fiber. So that's just something.
Okay.
They might have a plan for that, I guess. Someone could ask him. I could ask him.
David?
I make a motion to accept the report.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any more discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Right, thank you.
Thank you.
And you do have a powwow coming up?
November 11th.
Okay.
Okay.
Out of the
Three Sisters.
Three Sisters.
Three Sisters.
Next up, we have to accept the Southeastern Oneida Tribal Services Advisory Board Fiscal Year 17 fourth quarter report. No, were we getting anyone on the video? Okay, so no one's available for CIOTS. So it's up to the committee. The report is submitted in our packet starting on page 69.
Make a motion to accept the report.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion? Ernie?
Yeah, I just think maybe a follow-up for myself or Daniel. Are you the liaison or Daniel?
Daniel.
Yeah, so maybe to increase that communication in the future, because, you know, the RCIs, we shouldn't ask them to be here, to be honest. So if there's just a way they can ask to reiterate certain things or communicate the availability of this, you know, I know that's been used before, but if a liaison attends, at least allow that to be, but they can just kind of concur with that, just a suggestion.
Yeah, I think normally they have the video stream
Skype in
for most of their reports. Not too often a CIOTS board member comes up to Oneida for their report unless they're already in the area for other business. But yeah. Any more discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next up, we have to accept the Oneida Nation Veterans Affairs Committee Fiscal Year 17 Fourth Quarter Report.
Carol? You've got 3 minutes then.
Yeah, I suppose we're 3 minutes ahead of schedule, so.
I think also the Veteran Services, one of the, there's only two staff, right? One of them has a funeral.
Carol's father.
So I'm thinking.
I'll make a motion to accept the report.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion. Are you able to just want any highlights you would want to make us aware of?
Just a summary point where OVAC is going to be requesting to participate in the National Native American Memorial Dedication. It's in Washington, D.C. in 2020, and we're going to request to increase our budget so we could attend that. 3 years, fair warning. And that's basically it. They did go to Indian Summer. We requested for 9, but 4 of them couldn't go, so there was only 5 that attended that one. And they still have been doing color guards around for the community and all the other requests. And that's basically it. We're still selling our pavers. Not as much, but we increase it every, you know, maybe 2 or 3 a quarter.
Jenny?
Carol, I just would request that you put that in every quarterly report.
Yes.
About the 2020 memorial in D.C. And then do you have any upcoming events for Veterans Day?
Any upcoming? Not
is there booyah at noon?
I'm sorry?
Booyah at noon at the Veterans Office?
I didn't know about that one.
On Veterans Day, okay.
I didn't know about that one. And they're going to have that Wild Harvest Feast again, and mm-hmm. I don't remember what date that is.
Yeah, it's usually during the gun hunting season. Mid-late November. Kirby, do you have a question? Brandon?
Congressman Mike Gallagher is supposed to come visit on November 10th, and I'd like to notify Carrie to maybe have some people available and maybe some issues that they might want to address with the congressman. I don't know if the VASH program is, it sounds like it's doing pretty good, but I know we're having troubles with landlords being able to or wanting to take those vouchers. So those type of things, like if there's anything specific to veterans that you just want to have a couple of talking points on him. So you want to bring around, you want to do like a big thing, but just a couple people in the meeting.
Yeah. at the Veterans Department?
November 10th.
That would be a tribal holiday, so you normally would probably not do your Friday breakfast?
I don't know if they will. It's a holiday on Friday?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Having something that, is that the
They're having Booyah on Saturday the 11th, Booyah at noon, and then on November 21st is the Veterans Wild Game Feast, starting at 1100 hours. 11.
And where is Mike Gallagher going to be at?
Still working it out. Yeah, he's supposed to come in to see my grandpa.
Nursing home?
At the nursing home. So just to be on standby, wherever we get that. Because I think he just wants to come in and head out because he has a lot of events that day to go through. So we just want to, you know.
In and out?
In and out, yeah. If it's 10, 15 minutes, you know, just to be prepared.
Okay. Is that it?
Yeah.
Any more questions or comments? Do we have a motion?
Okay.
Any more questions? No? All right. We'll vote on the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
So we got a scheduled break from 10 to 10:15, so we're a little bit ahead, so we got a little bit of extended break here. So we'll recess till 10:30 is the next scheduled.
10:41. Commission on Aging is
Commission
scheduled
on Aging
for 10:30.
Is at 10:30. Do we vote on a recess? No. All right.
But there's nothing that we can...
No, we took care of everything that we have internally that don't need representation from other boards, committees, and commissions.
So did you say recess or no?
Yeah, we were recessed till 10:30. All right, good morning. We're coming out of recess. First on our agenda, we have to accept the Oneida Nation Commission on Aging Fiscal Year 17 Fourth Quarter Report. Yvon Kowal, come forward. If you want to go over any of the highlights of your report.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I came prepared this time. I got my highlights all in order.
Commission on Aging Well.
Who's here? Do you back me? Oh, well, I brought my troops with me. Yeah, I got the backup here. Okay, I'd like to start the report with just making a few highlights. I know that you guys will be busy throughout the morning, so, and I hope you had time to read the report. One of the things that we work on an annual basis is an annual Elder Expo, which was a good success this year. We had 35 vendors and 140 elders. We held a silent auction, and we doubled the amount of money that we made from last year to this year. And we also had... four recipients for the Roberta Consuma Fund. It was Tracy Smith, Maureen Perkins, Barbara Webster, and Kimberly Cornelius, who each received $500 scholarships. And I also want to give a big thank you to the Business Committee, OTI, the Tourism Department, and ONCO for supporting this initiative. We do have our date set for next year, which is September 14, 2018. Okay, another highlight I wanted to go over was the Elder Village. As you know, there you don't see any shovels in the ground yet over there for the next 10 homes that were to be built, but that was due to some issues with the architect designs and not being able to get it all put together in time. So they will be starting this phase next year, so they'll be bidding it out. Another one is the tribal apartment garages. I'm glad that the General Tribal Council decided to pass the budget early, and we are part of the CIP project. And this has been a request since
2005.
Since 2005 to have the apartments put up by, I mean the garages put up by the apartments by the elder services area. So I'm glad that that is finally moving forward. And one of the other ones that we're working on is the Alzheimer's Awareness and Research Initiative, which we started in 2014. So over the past 3 years, we've been meeting with them quite regular. And now the Oneida Health Center is involved with Dr. Veer and Debbie Scanador in regards to having a Alzheimer and dementia clinic start up at the health center. So there's still several meetings out there to get this in process. So it takes a while to get to the point where we can finally see something where we can help our tribal elders in regards to dementia and Alzheimer's. Another initiative is Great Lakes Native American Elders Association. We recently worked on a grant with Rochelle Paulus and Wes Martin to get transportation funds for the elders in the different areas of the state of Wisconsin. So we received a $10,000 grant for the next 4 years to help pay for transportation for those who want to attend the Glenea meetings, which is held every quarter at different tribes. Okay. And that's about all I have. All
right. Kirby? Yes.
On the transportation, do they use their own vehicle or tribal?
I believe it's going to be with the Menominees.
Yeah, their tribal bus is going to be transporting all the people that they can. And they've agreed to do that, too, unless our gaming wants to provide something for us.
Any questions or comments on the report? Ernie?
For this elder tree project, usually the agencies provide like some feedback on, you know, why or why not. Is there any feedback from that and how we can bounce back and try to go for that again?
That was both the initial program was a grant also, and this is through the UW-Madison Engineering Department, which is, I've never heard of that before. I mean, them doing a grant for this. Maybe it's the technology part. But then the program was scheduled to last so long, and it ended. And they put up some more money. They didn't put up money. They wrote for another grant, and we were pretty close to getting it, but you know how that goes. Just didn't get it. And we should be having another meeting with them since we put a lot of time and effort into the Elder Expo. Now we have time to work on that, too. So we're going to meet with the people from UW-Madison again, and see if there's another resource we can use because people are still asking about this program.
Yes. For the business committee? Ask the question.
In December of 2018, Oneida would like to have the Glenea meeting here at the Radisson, and we were wondering if we would have funds in our budget for that to bring the rest of the tribes to Oneida like we had it previously.
Lois, do you want to respond to this one?
Usually for, this is what happens for Glenea. They send this a letter around to all of the tribes and ask the tribal chair to select a time. And your last tribal chair selected December. So what happens with that?
So December of next year?
Mm-hmm. She signed the, it's not a real formal arrangement. It's just signing to say who's going to be scheduled where, and she scheduled for us for that. She scheduled you folks for that.
For 18. Jenny?
Was there any money in your budget towards that then?
No.
Not in the Commission on Aging, but I don't know. See, well, you know we're in the process of rebuilding our relationship with Elder Services. So we don't know at this time what they put in their budget, but we are making great strides in developing the real positive relationship, and I like that. Well,
David?
We all like that.
So if it's going to be for December of 18, then you would want to put that in your budget for the 2019's budget, which would be due in October. I mean, it starts October 1st. So there's time for you guys to add that to your budget and have the backup provided when it comes to budgeting time.
But the FY18 budget has been approved already.
That actually be fiscal year 19, though, because 18 only goes till the end of September.
Yep.
And fiscal year 19 starts, which will cover December of 18.
So we definitely want you to add it to that fiscal 19.
And then I don't know if the question is up then of, is that the time that we use would prefer to have that time hosted for that meeting? Is that okay?
We haven't had it for a while.
I mean,
years since we had.
Yeah, if it's our turn, and I don't know, I just want to make sure that that's a good time for the ONCOA board, if they have a preferred other time.
Well, if that's the case, then this is something that the ONCOA board needs to work on this year in order to have it for next year in December. So I guess we'll put it through the process with the ONCOA board.
Mm-hmm. Lois?
There is a cost trip to us because all the other tribes always have the meals. They have an evening meal, and then they have the first day they have a noon meal.
And a breakfast.
And a breakfast. And so there's three meals involved in it, so we need to have funds for that.
Mm-hmm. Evening, breakfast, and lunch.
Jenny?
So what you might do is... What you might do is contact whoever held it this year, mm-hmm. get their estimates of what those meals cost, mm-hmm. so you have a ballpark,
mm-hmm.
and then there's always going to be incidental costs.
Yeah.
So
we do have one coming up this December on, I think it's the 3rd through the 7th. I'm not really sure on the dates. 6th through the 7th. And we can get that information from that tribe. Mm-hmm. I think it's at Lac de Flambeau.
All right, Kirby?
We have a previous, Elder Services has previous information on the cost to, I know what they've increased, but a general ballpark area.
Okay. Kirby?
Okay, you mentioned that the former chair had said we would host December, and I guess we'd leave it up to you to pick the date with Radisson availability.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We also have they offer us lower hotel rates. Do we put that in our budget,
No.
When we go to the hotels, the hotel rates are, when we're going to Lac de Flambeau, it's only $62.
Well, that's just and the organizing part of it of setting up the deal with the Radisson is that you're booking that block of rooms for the guests, not necessarily for used in your budget. That's for them to pay. Mm-hmm. Ernie?
Just coming back to the elder tree again. Have you guys, with that, as far as alternative resources, have you guys talked to Don Miller with grants yet?
He was the first one that we approached on this on a project like this, but we have not gone back to him, no.
Okay, because he can probably help at least seek out some of that feedback from the granting agency to help with that, or identify, because I know there's funds coming through in the spring for humanities that focuses on specific target groups. Using technology to have access to humanities information so we can pilot a program around it. So the training and information you guys receive is through a specific, informational program like history or whatever that might be. I think it'd be good if it's targeted. So that's another option that you can look at and talk to Don about.
All right, we can do that.
Any more questions on the report?
Move to approve.
Support. Motion has been made and seconded. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
I'm really happy to have Eli McCoskey on board, too, because he's doing a fantastic job with it.
All right, thank you.
Relay?
All right, next on our agenda, we have to accept the Oneida Gaming Commission Fiscal Year 17 Fourth Quarter Report. Gaming Commission?
Yeah. Morning.
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 Morning. Morning. Just want to go over some highlights.
Keep it brief here. For the fourth quarter, the Gaming Commission has a few changes. Noted in the Article 2 for names. The supervision of the observation department went back to the executive director, Tammy Van Chindel. So that's a change that's in here. This isn't on the highlight, but I want to bring that forward. We do have an interim director in place right now, and it's going to be posted as soon as possible. So we're very close to getting it posted, and that will be taken care of. Another issue that happened was I became the chairman of the commission through a vote. We have one resignation. Christina Danforth resigned from the commission, so we had that opening, and it's posted already. Looking forward to filling that. A couple highlights. Our surveillance system replacement project has been going on. It's going to continue to go on throughout this fiscal year as well. We're basically doing one property at a time in the gaming. We have to have everything go from the main casino out to the outlets and to the IMAC. So that's taking like a project steps at a time. So that's something that's going to be continuously happening throughout the year. We attended NTGCR, which is the National Tribal Gaming Commission Regulators Training in Palm Springs this early September, and brought back some good feedback and some information from their property. Next week we have our closing of the state's audit, compliance audit. We had a couple of minor infractions that had been remedied already, so there was no issues with that. External audit, we haven't got back the final one from that yet, but we don't anticipate anything major happening. So if there's any questions, here to answer them.
Jenny?
Excuse me. For the resignation of the new commissioner, what is that process now going forward then?
It's an appointment from the chair. Will make a recommendation to the committee, and you guys need to ratify it.
Okay.
So, and also we, the gaming commission itself is going to put together a recommendation as well to the chairman. But it's still the committee's choice.
So those postings come. I saw it was listed in the Galois Lacs.
Yes.
So they submit their applications to Gaming Commission or to the Secretary's office.
Secretary
will send those to you.
Yeah. Our Steve Hill gets the backgrounds. There's a background check on every applicant. So, and then the Gaming Commission itself gets to form a recommendation. And then we forward that to the chair, and then you guys take care of it from there.
Okay. Any other questions or comments on the report? David?
Make a motion to accept the fourth quarter report for the Oneida Gaming Commission.
Second for discussion.
Motion made and seconded. Discussion, Brandon?
Two things. One is we've been hearing a lot from affiliated tribes through NIGA that they're some tribes are moving in Class 2 gaming, you know, creating more space for their Class 2. And so gaming kind of is just looking at the feasibility of, you know, just, you know, there's more interaction with the servicer. You know, the licensing is more expensive, but then the providers, they do all the maintenance, correct?
I don't know about the maintenance, but we are the Oneida is ready for Class 2 games. We've implemented trial bases of it in the past, and the operation part doesn't want Class 2 machines. If you're talking machines, that's the feeling from the operations part is they don't want Class 2. They don't think it's going to be successful. We look at it a little bit differently as the Class 2, all the revenue generated through Class 2 is not reported to the state. That's our own revenue. We don't have to pay the fee of that percentage, that 4.5%. So we're in favor of the Class 2. We're waiting for operations to, I guess, go ahead and do it because we have the regulations basically in place. We just have to implement them. So it's not like it's going to be a major overhaul. The operation part has to, you know, give it the green light, and we're basically ready for it. It's an operational call. We can't, you know, can't tell them what to do, but we're ready.
Okay,
for class two gaming machines.
That's kind of where I had the conversation with them last time when we met with gaming. It's like, you know, I want to be able to see it, the pros and cons of putting more class two games in there, because you can't tell the difference nowadays.
Right.
It looks basically the same thing.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so it's just getting that experience for the younger, and then getting ready for our aging out demographic is really what's concerning now, is the next 10 to 20, 30 years of what is our gamer going to look like, and how to tailor that, our gaming facility, bricks and mortar, to that demographic that may not want to go to a facility. So I think that's really what I want to see from gaming, is that, you know, 20-year outlook of where our gaming is going to look like and what are we going to be prepared for.
Yeah, we actually are getting ready to talk about this in our meeting next week, is it? The quarterly meeting? Yeah. We want to discuss
Monday.
That.
With Monday, we got a meeting with Chaz Monday again. Yeah.
Okay.
To talk just specifically about that issue as well. So.
Okay, and then lastly is just, you know, we're dealing with the sports betting right now and just kind of being ready for it. We're waiting on a legal analysis as well.
Yeah.
But kind of waiting for that Supreme Court case in New Jersey. And then kind of an auxiliary is just the poker tables. You know, how do we deal with the poker table thing, and what is, there was a memo that was brought forward from the Gaming Commission on how the business committee would like to deal with it, especially with those on the reservation, you know.
The illegal betting, you mean?
The legal betting, yeah. The poker tables and the machines of the surrounding, especially Green Bay area, and how much that takes away from us.
Yeah.
The Lac de Flambeau led several years ago, they wanted something to be done, and they were kind of waiting for Oneida, Potawatomi, and Ho-Chunk on what they were going to do. And so I don't know if we want to, as a committee, kind of address those things. You know, the Taverling is pretty tough, you know, pretty strong lobby. And is it going to be worthwhile? That's kind of why we stood at a standstill, not doing it, because there's such a powerful lobby and totally unregulated.
Yeah.
And yet we have three levels of regulation. And so that's kind of the things. Does the committee want to move in a direction, at least have a conversation or something? You know,
we initially wanted to bring that forward in the March,
yeah,
quarterly meeting, but we didn't have that meeting. But we kind of discussed it informally with a couple business committee members. But we definitely are open to those discussions as well. But in the long run, it's going to fall back on your decision of that political bombshell that's going to happen if you want to try enforcing it. But we considered all this gambling illegal, and that's our, the Gaming Commission standpoint, is all this video machines, poker tournaments, whatever they're doing out there is all illegal. And we recognize, you know, since last year, that in order to bring this forward, we also have to clean up our backyard first before we can take it to the county level, I guess.
Yeah.
So it's kind of it's just a hot button there that we ultimately have to wait for your decision. You know, we gave you our opinion. Again, it's going to be up to you guys if you want to discuss it more. We'd be happy to.
Kirby?
Regarding the Class 2 gaming, you had mentioned that the gaming operations, that's, they're not comfortable with going in towards more of the Class 2 gaming?
Well, that's been their practice. They've since at least 2000 that I'm aware of, I was in operations at the time, they've done like a few banks of machines that were Class 2, and they determined that they were not effective, so they've them taken them out. And
so we have no Class 2 currently?
No Class 2 gaming machines, no. So that's, the regulations are set up so that we can have them. Mm-hmm. We have to make a few modifications to the standard operating procedures, but we can do it. It's not hard. It's a decision from management to bring them in, We already have the regulations basically in place with a few modifications that would need to be made. A few processes change need to be made. That's it.
Okay. And then just to follow up, I received an email from Mark yesterday regarding one of the employees in surveillance, and that was forwarded to HRD for one of the 25-year people in surveillance.
Yeah.
David, then Ernie.
Matt, can you tell me what the advantage is by having class 2? Is it the age group? 18-year-olds?
Yeah, the main age group would be allowed to go now to 18-year-olds to 21 can now play class 2 games, just like bingo. Okay. It's just the same as bingo. The machines are basically the exact same machine with a little bitty screen on it that indicates it's a class 2 machine. You can't really tell. If you don't know what it is, you can't really tell that it's a class 2 machine. And the major advantage for the tribe is that money is not,
subject to the compact.
Subject to the compact fee, tax, if you will.
Okay.
It's our money to keep. We don't pay the state 4.5% on it like we do now for class 3.
So is that why all the casinos are switching over to that?
Yeah, it's a higher upfront cost.
Is that
costs.
Their angle?
All the revenue stays here.
Yeah. And what Brandon is also talking about is the future of gaming with the new machines. There's going to be a skill-based machines are coming. They're coming in the future. Those can be class 2 as well. So we can talk about that more on Monday, but basically it's the revenue that the tribe gets to keep, not give that back to the state. So that's the main advantage. The other one is the age goes down to 18. That's a whole other demographic coming into the building. And/or in the future, our website. So.
Ernie,
I was going to say maybe. Have you guys looked at Porch Creek? What they did with their Class 2 facility in Alabama? Porch Creek of a band of Creek Indians. They have an entirely Class 2 bingo machine facility in Alabama that has been operating since maybe close to 10 years now. So they were, looking at that legal history there, looking at the analysis, looking at all their kind of stuff that they might have available, I would recommend maybe reaching out to their commission to get some information to at least present to our gaming to say that this isn't something that's 5-10 years from now. This is something that's yesterday. So
all the casinos in Oklahoma are all class 2.
Yeah.
They are huge and successful. So we are in contact with them through the NTGCR contacts. We know about it. Our operation has to kind of buy into that, where we're for it. There's nothing wrong with it. It's money for the tribe, and it's a bigger demographic of population. So I believe we're pretty much ready to go. It's just an operational decision that we can't control. That's kind of your area. So
you go back to when we first started with gaming. We had 18-year-olds or 21-year-olds playing, and the state, then we changed the compact. But most of our revenue was coming from the 18 to 21-year-olds, and that was a big drop-off, as far as money-wise, Then we went for 21. Then you go out east, go out west, like Matt was saying, you go to Oklahoma, even California, the 18-year-olds all over the place, just to see the kids. And then you go to Mystic Lake, and they're 18-year-olds, and that place is packed all night long.
Key thing of the skills based, as you know, that's
it's coming, and we want to. On Monday we're going to talk about it, and we need to get more involved in that, and we'll talk about that more on Monday. But that's the whole iGaming. And the sports betting issue is huge. We're kind of waiting as well. So if it does happen, we need to be prepared, be ready to go when a state or whoever says it's legal. So we need to prepare for that. But again, we're going to have to go through this committee for our direction and authorization. I know what we're supposed to do, but again, we're going to need the blessing. We're going to need some assistance from this office as well. But iGaming and the skill-based games are coming, and they are starting to pop up in Vegas and other areas, other jurisdictions are starting this to come, and we just need to be ready for it. It's going to be huge. But we'll talk more about that on Monday in our presentation for you.
Any more questions on the report? Motion to accept the report would be in order.
Sorry, I just...
Oh, we did that already? Yeah. Okay. Calling for the question. All right. All those in favor accepting the report, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right.
Thanks,
thank you.
Thank you.
Next up, we have to accept the election board.
No, Monday.
Monday.
These are nine.
The election board fourth quarter report. The report is in the packet.
Motion to accept the report.
So moved.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion on the report? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Back on schedule. Accept the Oneida Land Claims Commission fiscal year 17 third quarter report.
Motion to accept it for comment.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by David. Discussion, Ernie?
Just something to talk to Loretta yesterday, that preparing for that trip, just a couple of things that she wanted to discuss. So I'm just FYI, I'm going to go chat with her and just to kind of get a message with the approach, understanding we have our notification of our arrival, so to speak, and those kind of things. So just had some thoughts and maybe some questions. So I'll just be talking with her, and I'll bring that back and just prepare for the trip.
Right. Jenny?
And I believe Lisa Liggins is finalizing the itinerary for out there.
Any other questions? Seeing none, we'll vote on the third quarter report. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions, motion carries. Now we got the fourth quarter Land Claims Commission report.
Motion to accept.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Discussion? Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote on the fourth quarter report. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions, motion carries. And we have a deferral, a land commission deferral for the fourth quarter report.
Motion to defer to the next meeting.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to defer the land commission fourth quarter report to the next meeting. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, next OBC meeting.
Thank you.
Next up, we have the Accept the Oneida Nation School Board Fiscal Year 17 Fourth Quarter Report. And they're here early, and we are a little early, so it's working out. You want to go over some highlights of your report?
Sure. Good morning. You have the report in your packet along with minutes from the previous meetings. I think that the biggest highlight we want to focus on is that we are now at 8 members for our board, our newest addition being Melinda J. Danforth. She has been added to the school board, so we're now at 8, and we have one parent member vacancy that remains, which we're continuing to work on to get that filled, and then we would have a complete board membership. We're excited that, you know, the start of the school year has begun. We've had a lot of positive things that have been going on, a lot of activity. The school board has continued to look at policies and procedures. We have been meeting on not just the policies and procedures, but also on finalizing the education law or the code. We're in the final stages of that review. That's been about a year and a half to 2 year review that we've been working on that actual law. And so we are this close to getting done, which we are very hopeful that we can get that completed and get that over for initial reviews and hopefully get it over to the committee and then to LOC for this process. So we're hopeful that that will occur. There have been a lot of sessions that we've held with our attorney to address some of the concerns and some of the issues, and also looking at the future in terms of what the future holds within the organization for education as a whole, and thinking outside the box in terms of how we can meet the educational needs of our nation as we move forward. We did have, in August, we had a two-day school board training that was conducted by the Bureau of Indian Education for our region, and we invited the Menominee Tribal School Board. They came in and participated with us, and we'll be having some follow-up sessions with that. We held the session, which was basically looking at strategic planning, looking at how we can plan for education as a whole and be better board members for our school system. So it was a very positive training, and we look forward to the future sessions that will follow up with this. Also was good to have that collaboration with Menominee Tribal School Board and know that they experienced some of the same kinds of issues and the same kinds of frustrations that we do, and it was helpful to kind of bounce things off of each other. So it was a good experience overall. The biggest thing that we want to emphasize is that we are continuing to move forward in terms of the Language House transition. It's nearing completion. The moves have been started and are in the final processes. And there was a report that was due to be put on the agenda for yesterday's meeting. However, that was asked to be deferred because some of the final moves and the final things are not finalized at this point. So once that's done, we will have the closeout report prepared for you and bring it forward to the committee. That's really about it, unless there's other things that you want to bring up.
We're just now doing our fall assessments that are required for the Bureau for the reporting with the Bureau, and we've been completing the state Third Friday report, things that we need from the state. We work with CISA 7 on some of our licensures, so we're working with a couple of staff now and getting licensed. And the whole teacher license process program, I think you probably know it's been changed. So if you have a teacher's license, you now have a life license. And we had staff doing professional development plans, and now those are no longer needed. So that's a big change within our system. However, we are still obligated from the Bureau to provide teacher training, and we are moving forward. We had trauma training with the staff with our behavioral health services, and tomorrow we will be having conscious discipline training, and we're getting ready to be collaborative with them. In August, they're having a big national trainer come in, so our staff will be ready for that, and we'll be doing online training for that as well. And I wanted to remind you, today is our family feast, so you're invited to our family feast later today.
What's it, 9?
4 o'clock?
4, 4:30?
4 to 7, yeah.
4 to 7.
Just had a quick question about the education code. Mm-hmm. Just generally, what is the structure looking like so far? Because I know previously we had discussions when I was on the school board about the Board of Education overseeing, you know, the cradle of the grave type thing. So mm-hmm. what are you looking at now?
We've gone in the similar direction that it was previously, but what we've done is we've worked very closely with our attorney to try and actually take a lot of what was in the previous draft and cut that back, because a lot of that was day-to-day policy and procedure kind of things. So we've been able to actually make a broad overview and then get the policy and procedures down so that what we currently have in place as far as policy and procedure a lot of what was in there was day-to-day stuff, and so that's why it made it thick as a book. And so we said the overview of this is let's just stick at the high level, just the law, and then those things that impact policy and procedure we can do on a regular basis. So the overview of the law itself is looking at how we address education as a whole. And we talked about alignment of education. We talked about higher ed. We talked about the daycare, you know, Head Start, all of those kinds of things, similar to what we had in our previous discussion, and looked at what's best for the whole organization and how do we look at education as a whole for the nation. So that's kind of a snapshot of what we've looked at.
So then did you initiate any conversations yet with GSD with some other areas?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. We wanted to get it in the final document stage, and then we would bring that forward and start initiating some of those discussions. I do have a meeting with GSD, with Comprehensive Health and GSD, but we've had some preliminary talks, and I said, you know, this is down the road. We're not ready yet, but just to give you a heads up, this is what's coming. So we've had some discussion there.
Okay. Questions or comments? Brennan?
We always had this question from year to year, and especially term to term, is what are we teaching in our schools about the Oneida Nation government? And it's always been kind of, you know, depending on who's teaching it. And a few times they brought, I think Merak brought the students in here, and what he said is like they got a whole new perspective of what happens. And then so just having the ability, especially high school students, to be able to kind of see their government working and kind of be more engaged and understand what that is, I would like to encourage that type to happen. Because I go around the state making sure public schools are adhering to Act 31 and directing them to that portal to making sure they're using the curriculum that's available to them. And then so I just want to make sure we're kind of doing that as well, too, you know, in our facilities, especially with the resource they have, and being able to develop a more communication and link to the student council. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we should be talking to them regularly on, you know, a monthly basis. It would be nice, if not quarterly, with the student council to say, hey, what do you guys need? You know, so they have a better voice with the council and feel more effective.
I would just like to say I support that, but I think quarterly, just based on all the meetings we go on and and working in the tourism department in the past, giving tours of our young people, when asked, who is your tribal government leaders, what is the title? Simple questions like that they were unable to answer.
And then having the teachers reach out, being comfortable reaching out to any one of us to come in and at least be present, mm-hmm. you know, do, you know, either talk or even just sit in a classroom. I know we kind of asked, and they're really apprehensive to say, oh, I don't know what we can do. And so I struggled even going straight to them too, you know, making sure we go through the school board, you know, or the principal first so they can be at least feel encouraged that some of those activities can happen.
Yeah, no, like last term, I think I was working with Jeannie in the high school. I think I went into class maybe three times and just generally talked about the Oneida Constitution, how the laws are passed, what the roles of the biz committee is, you know, basic general Oneida government functions. Just, I don't know, I think I had like 20 or 30 minutes or whatever, and then they had their other classroom time. But, you know, I think that was a good start, I think. But that was just, like I said, I think two or three times over the last term or year. Ernie?
I think, too, just, you know, I mean, it's very important for them to understand how things go here. But just being to these events like NCAI and the food summit in areas like that, we're seeing a lot of tribes utilizing their high school's kids, you know, to create these councils and committees and commissions on whatever type of area that their tribe operates in, from the food to agriculture to business to government. So there's a lot of areas that we can be tapping into to get these kids involved, not just here but on a national level. So that's another thing too, is it's really, it's good seeing that across Indian country. So maybe there's ways that we can expand what we're doing or create some new things to. I know we talked about ACEs and getting our kids involved and, you know, our business entities as well, because we want to recruit them in the mm-hmm. future. So there's a lot of things we can easily be spread thin on that, but I think more the merrier to see what we can manage with our kids at that age level.
We definitely welcome your input and look forward to having a more collaborative relationship.
And lastly, we talked with OTAI, and they're able to fund any type of STEM program or club or anything like that. And so I think maybe we can kind of work on some kind of programming within the school and get them in front of some robotics or anything mm-hmm. like that. I think it would generate some more interest.
Jackie Zalem had reached out not too long ago, and I had forwarded her contact over to Art to get in touch with her so that they were willing to give us some money if we wanted to move forward on a project. So I know that they had been in contact. I'm not sure what the status is at this point because she reached out to me and I just sent it on to where it needs to go. So I can have Sherry or follow up and see where things are. But I do know that, and this is my other hat from Comprehensive Health, we have a cultural awareness team that has been developed and actually has developed a curriculum in collaboration with Cultural Heritage. And that curriculum is now completely in the e-learning series. It's actually 2 years of curriculum that we've worked on with ceremonies and the creation stories, and all of that material is in the e-learning series. The school has reached out and asked to get a copy of that learning series, and so we're working on trying to respect the sensitivity of some of the content of that information. Some of the content of that information is specific in terms of how it's related to health, but the basic kinds of information about the creation story and how that fits and some of the ceremonies and things like that, we are working with Cultural Heritage because we've not only been asked by many of the entities within the nation, we've also been asked by many nations across the country to share our cultural awareness series with them. We have a policy in place for Comprehensive Health that makes it mandatory so that every employee has to have a minimum of 60 minutes per month that they have to go through that e-learning series. And then we have a modified version for new employees so they can get caught up to each month. And we're tracking that data to see the compliance and where we're at. But many tribes have asked us to share that. And so we're right now in the process of trying to look at how do we share some of the information and still be sensitive to the needs in terms of what we can and can't share. And the school has been one of the things that they've been really interested in trying to get that into the school system for the teachers, for the staff, so that they have that awareness of dealing with, you know, our kids on a culturally sensitive basis. So those are some of the things that we're working on right now and hope that we can get that all finalized.
All right, and I guess I just have one more question or statement as kind of regarding to, well, yesterday we had the 18 or 19 people go through for the 25 years or more of service, and I know often when you're working in the organization for that long, especially in one area, you're likely to be at the top of the wage scale for that particular job. And I know there's a lot of long-term teachers at the school, and so I think that a question of equity or whatever, especially with the 30-cent raise that went through with the budget about, I know it was the policy to go to the bonus if they're at the top of their wage scale, but looking at evaluating where the wage scales of the teachers. So I know that's an important area that, mm-hmm. you know, we have a lot of long-term teachers and being able to keep them, or keeping the new teachers that are good. You know, we don't want them moving on early either. We would like to keep them long-term. So really trying to look at addressing the whole salary wage stuff within the school system, because I know it's our kids spend, you know, 7-8 or more hours there every day of the week, and that's a great value to our community having good teachers in place. So I want to make sure that the school board and administration is looking at retention and other, I guess, maybe options to be able to retain good teachers and just looking at those types of issues.
That is an issue that the school board has on a regular basis. We try to address in terms of remaining competitive, and we've seen some of that with our difficulties in filling positions just because of shortages in specific areas of education that we've had difficulty in filling some of our vacant positions. But the school board has really taken a heart in terms of looking at how we continue to remain competitive with the surrounding schools. In the past, it used to be that, they go to Oneida and train, and then they get recruited to the Green Bay school districts, or they get recruited to some of the other school districts, and we don't want to see that. We want to see our good teachers stay in our community and stay with our kids. And we've even had the issues in terms of not just the teaching staff, but anybody in the school system that's been working with us. One of the things that we just took over over the last year was dealing with the kitchen staff. Kitchen staff were, once it was determined that they were no longer eligible for unemployment, we looked at what are the options out there. Can we offer contracts then to those staff? And so we've been very trying to think out of the box and be creative in terms of how we can do some of these things to maintain. One concern that we had with our kitchen staff is that when we calculated the wage over a whole year, it came to less than $6 an hour. And the school board said, we can't have people surviving on less than $6 an hour. If the organization as a whole is a minimum of $10 an hour, then we need to work something out within the budget to try and accommodate that so that we're fair and equitable across the board for all of our staff. So we look at the teaching staff. We look at the teacher aides. We also look at the paraprofessionals, as well as the kitchen staff and even custodial within, because they're all around our kids 24 hours a day that they're in that school system. And so we need to maintain and keep good quality staff. So the board is always looking at that, and we look at it on a regular basis in terms of being competitive with the surrounding schools and schools similar to our school. We compare not only Green Bay, DePere, Seymour, Pulaski, but we also look at schools that are competitive with us, like, similar in size and the types of services that are being provided. So,
is there a specific area that we could help out with? I know BIE funding, but to increase so we could potentially have higher personnel lines within the school system, where does that funding come from for hiring the staff and the teachers?
Yeah, we have various and assorted funding. It's mostly with the Bureau. So the ISEP funding, the Indian Student Individual Student Equalization Program, that pays for the homeroom teachers. Then we have an Indian Ed Grant, and that pays for two of the language culture teachers. And we have special education. That program is 100% federally funded. So it depends on where they're getting paid out of, but it's usually federal funds from somewhere. And then there's some tribal contribution that supplements.
I think that would be helpful if we could get that information, so when we do meet with different congressmen, that we can say, these are issues that we're facing in our school system, and we want to be able to retain our teachers.
Thank you. That would be really a big help, especially this year because of the budget cuts we had to face. So thank you.
Brandon, then David.
Sitting on the board, the Haskell Board of Regents, they have early education program there, which is nationally certified, and so they're looking for a place to host their teachers. And so what the goal of that is to have the teachers be in a community, learn about the community, be around and get acquainted with the community, so they're more likely to stay, so they can do some learning engagements with our school. And so they're looking to host, I believe, in the spring, a group of teachers to come up anywhere in the U.S. with the tribe. And I'm just waiting for what they'll need as far as a package or proposal or anything to bring up students and so, or their students. And then so to be able to get them on like a contract or get them on something to say, hey, we will employ you for X amount of time. And so I'll connect you guys to that person at Haskell with the education program. I think it's K through fifth grade, and so it's a nationally certified. So they automatically, I can only regurgitate what they're told me, right? But I'll get that information, you guys.
Okay. David,
make a motion to accept the fourth quarter report for the Oneida Nation School Board.
Second.
Motion is made and second. Any further discussion?
I just had one more. If you could maybe work with Tana to put together those talking points for that funding, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Seeing no more discussion or questions, we'll go ahead and vote on the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Motion to recess until 1:30. Or 1:15, I should say.
Motion to recess till 1:15 is there made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. We'll do a quick roll call, starting with David.
Good afternoon. David Jordan here.
Kirby Metoxam present.
Dehasa Hill here.
Jenny Webster here.
All right, so this afternoon's agenda is the corporate boards. We're scheduled to start at 1:15. It's 1:18, so we'll jump right into it. First is to accept the Oneida Airport Hotel Corporation Fiscal Year 17 fourth quarter report, and it is in the packet. You want to just go over some brief highlights?
Good afternoon, everyone. The last quarter is also the end of the year report that is in front of you, and we have good news for all of the hotel corporation. The staff there is wonderful. It's great to work. I see them work together with the Wingate and support them and all the other entities. During this last quarter, we really, with the three games in September, we really ended on a good note financially. And operationally, during the year, there were two big awards that we won, and there was the Radisson President's Award. From Radisson, we were one of 10 areas that did win that for a hotel out of 186 hotels nationwide. So that was good news. And then last week, not in the fiscal year 17, but in 18, we won the award that needs definitely recognition for the best business partner from the Visitor Convention Bureau for Brown County. So that was the exciting news for that. Capital expenditures are on track, including putting in the new windows in Tower 2. Tower 2 was the last or the most recent addition to the hotel. That part is only about 12 years old. The rest of the hotel, as you know, is as old as 31, going on 32 years. So we continue to put the profits from the operation back into capital expenditures for the Radisson. And then as we move on to, I'm sorry, are there any questions? No. Then as we move on to Three Clans, which is Wingate by the Wyndham by Wingate, that also, we've owned that property for 9 years. We bought it over the market and is never been valued at the price that we paid for it. So we have continued to struggle there and very dependent upon the Radisson as far as operations, as far as not the operations as much as the insurance, the mortgage and payment, the interest, and also the capital expenditures. I'm pleased to say that this year, after 9 years, we have finally made a profit in that property as well. They also have won awards this year for the TripAdvisor being number one again, and in the last quarter being number one out of their five competitions for occupancy, ADR, and RevPAR. So they've had a good year. They also, next year we are looking at starting to renovate that property as well, as that property will be 15 years old. It was 6 years old when we bought it. So really just good news from these two corporations and LLC.
David?
Do we have a shareholders meeting scheduled anytime soon?
No, we had one about 2 or 3 months ago. But if you want one, we can put it together, definitely. I don't think there's a scheduled time. It was just during the year sometime. So I can work with the secretary's office if you want and schedule that.
I think it would be a positive note moving forward from now.
Okay.
That we'd have another meeting and have some discussion.
Okay. That's fine.
Thank you.
Sure. Any more comments or discussion on the report?
Move to accept the report.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Were you going to do a subsequent motion, David, to request a report or a shareholder
sure,
meeting?
Just a request to have the airport president set up a shareholders meeting with the board and the business committee within the next couple weeks.
Couple weeks by the end of this.
Maybe work with the secretary's office sure. to find out everybody's schedule.
Okay, that sounds
great.
Good.
Thank as soon as possible, then.
Yeah, as soon as possible.
Sure.
David's motion, seconded by Kirby. Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Just a quick question, Janice.
Yes.
This Saturday, what is the meeting this Saturday? Is it a...
It is the year end. It is also to approve our capital expenditures from the cash from the profit that we have for 2018. The profit from 2017, how we're going to use it in 2018 for capital expenditures.
I'm going to be out of town this weekend, but is Daniel, the board meets, or do they usually have the liaison present?
Usually. This one probably more so than any. On the quarterly meetings is when, because that's when we give our big report, not only to the business committee, but also when you find out any type of operations, whether if there's legal issues. But this one is a capital. I know Trish is also, I believe, on vacation.
Yes.
So Trish will also be gone.
What time is that meeting?
At 8 a.m.
At the
Radisson? Saturday at the Radisson. We sent you the packet already with all the contents, and just if you have any questions, you can ask me. Just for your information, we have asked our chief counsel to come to give us just the parameters with three of us there. So we'll be looking at that.
Okay. All right. We'll move on to the next item. Is the accept the Oneida Gulf Enterprise fiscal year 17 fourth quarter report.
Right, the fourth quarter, as you know, this is one of our seasonal businesses that we have. I'm not sure if it's the only one, but I know it for sure this is seasonal, depending upon the nice weather. As the rooms are our highest profit in your hotels, it is the Gulf rounds that are also the highest profit. The food is always at the lower end of the percentages when it comes to profit, even though we have done more food because we're open 12 months with food opposed to the warm weather for the Gulf during the year. With that said, we have always do a competitive analysis, and this year it was Trapper's Turn in Wisconsin Dells. We try to look at our competitors are of like properties throughout the state and within the region that we consider competitors to ourselves with some of the same number of holes and some of the same length of the ground. So that was this year. And I know it's probably very biased, but we do compare, and so far we haven't found one that we don't have something a little bit newer, a little bit better, a little bit bigger than some of the rest. So with the exception of Kohler right now, I can say most of them we are the largest, especially with the clubhouse and its condition. The other thing, I think the improved value, as you can see, has been for the LPGA. With that said, we put in a lot of expenditures in this last year in order to do that. And with the staff at Thornberry Creek, which is really, they worked on the food for a lot of the areas, but they definitely did not work on the grounds as the volunteers took care of the event. So I can tell you that all the material changes that we have downstairs, probably outside the clubhouse, the locker rooms, I mean, they're just the best. They're all brand new. and were very well received. I think, and downstairs we are calling it the Eagle Room, so that if you hear that in the coming months, that's the completion for the lower level. Our market growth, we continue to grow in that market as well. What we have in the from the year end is really this last quarter is really a very good and very solid numbers. We have a new tracking system and also a new accounting firm that is an accounting management company, which is called Landscapes. They take care of all of our financials and do a much better job at tracking all of the numbers. The number that we've been interested in is the impact from the LPJ with the money invested from the United Nations. And we can tell you that with since the LPJ, there are over 2,077 new guests that indeed came for the impact at a higher rounds that we are looking at. And also for next year, a lot of our members are already asking about the prices. So we're using the same yield management concept that we do at the hotels. When the demand is there, the rate does go up because of the demand. As we fill the occupancy in the rooms, that's what we base a lot of our success on because that's where the revenue is from. We base that on percentage of rounds, and that means how many tea times do we have left in a day. So the more rounds we sell, if we sell out, again, that's the demand. That means that our prices, being more demand, can go up with the yield management process that we use. Food and beverage had an incredible year, beating last year's numbers by over $300,000, which was great, and over budget by $40,000 from where we were. I think the thing to remember when we did look at financials and shared with you and other things is the fact that we did close for 11 days during LPJ. So there was revenue that was missed, but it was picked up in the week of the LPJ event itself. So the staff worked great together. As you know, IMG is the event manager company that has put together the event. So TCO is doing real well. We know that we have still work to do next year. We noted the improvements. We had all of our wrap-ups with all of our internally as well as internally for the tribe as well. All the departments we work with from day-to-day or on different events or different activities that we have there. Our corporations, OTI, right down to the week of the LPJ itself, we really, the revenue and the give back was, we can define it by a dollar amount, but I can tell you it benefit our members, our tribal members, if they came to the course during that week. Also to fundraisers, we worked with WE and WPS to have a youth clinic, and 20% of that was from our Oneida members. Our youth from up to the ages of 14 benefit that. Our vendors that week, they benefit. The Indigenous Games we were part of by sponsoring one of the players that were there to help with hopefully pull the attendance. Overall, all of those areas was about a $75,000 give back. The percentage in rooms for that particular week when we measure looking at the successes was 38% increase for the rooms during that week from the previous year at the hotels, at Radisson. In Wingate, we filled their hotel with the construction people that came to build all the logistics, or Tent Logics is the company for all of the other areas. But it was just a great success, a $7.2 million impact, and once again, with the event itself, it also got recognition from the county, and that was to win the annual award of the most favorite, the best event of the year for 2017. So that came also last week. That was when NCI was on in Milwaukee, so Trish was still available to come. So she was there to see the presentation and the impact. So it hit 138 countries. It had like 5 billion hits on the social media. So all those numbers we will be posting now that we reported it to you.
Questions, comments? Kirby?
Just a comment. Congratulations on a successful Thornberry Creek LPGA Classic. And the $7.2 million local impact. Mm-hmm. Again, congratulations with the CVB with their top event for mm-hmm. the 2017 year.
Thank you.
Ernie?
So on the last piece of the market growth, it looks like you guys are working with profit marketing. I just want to clarify what you said. They played a big role. Were they involved in the Packer Promotions part of it, or are they involved in the LPGA Classic part of it, or both?
In both.
Okay.
In both. As TCO on their website, they helped us do all of that advertising, and anytime we had changes or we heard of a new nationally known name, they would update our website. So we worked with both of them.
So they handled all the campaigns in external as well?
Well, most of them, a lot of them, you know, LPJ had like standard ones. It was changing the name and the location and the description a lot, but they had the whole template that was necessary. And then IMG, just from their experience and knowing who was coming and their assets.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Any more questions?
I'll make a motion to accept the report.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for your support as well.
Thank you.
Thanks. Next up, we have to accept the Bay Bank Corporation Fiscal Year 17 Fourth Quarter Report. So if you want to just give us some brief highlights.
Good afternoon, Jeff Bowman from Bay Bank. Financial results for the quarter ended September 30th will be discussed, along with some other highlights of the bank. We finished the quarter with $97 million in assets. This is an increase from last fiscal year end, so we've got nice growth charted so far this year. We also service all the mortgages that we originate. That servicing portfolio is an additional $75 million in assets. We continue to get growth from a number of the tribes in the Great Lakes area. We just attended a housing fair in Lac des Flambeaux yesterday. We sent two of our mortgage lenders, and we've already got some new applications from some tribal members up there that we didn't know about. So we're picking up customers with all the Ojibwe tribes, and that's incremental new business for us. We originated 112 mortgage loans through the third quarter, and that's a value of $14.3 million in new loans. This is ahead of last year at the same time. And then also through the third quarter, we originated 354 consumer loans with a value of $2.3 million. That's about the same as last year at this time. So at that pace, we'll finish with about 500 consumer loans originated this year, and that's going to be the third year in a row of about that same loan volume. So we continue to have robust lending in both mortgage loans and consumer loans. In the third quarter, we upgraded our online banking product. So when you sign into baybankgb.com, you're going to notice a new look. And when you get into your accounts, you'll see that there's a new format. It has some more capability. What came along with it was some cash management capabilities for business customers. And then we also upgraded the mobile app. So you can now go to the App Store and download the Bay Bank app, so you can have a shortcut on your smartphone. We grew the ATM network. We're up to 23 ATMs, and it should be 25 by the end of the year. The ATM revenue has been growing every year for us. It's a profitable source of business. So we, in Oneida and Green Bay, we'll have 25 ATMs in service by the end of the year. The bank's profit through 9 months is $505,000. And at this pace, it should finish about $650,000 for the year. We now have 51 consecutive months in a row of making a profit. So we have a nice momentum built up, and it took a while to get there, but the momentum is there. We work with a lot of tribes on some of their larger projects, and oftentimes it takes 6, 9, 12 months to gear up for them. We actually have a number of projects in the pipeline for 2008 These are things that we started in 2006 or 2007, the ramp up for 2008. So we should see continued growth with our tribal customers in 2018. And then we have a number of key projects that we supported for local tribes in 2017. We helped Bad River with a housing project. We helped Red Cliff with a project this year. We've also helped a native CDFI, that's a community development financial institution. We made an investment in their fund. We also sponsored a grant for them. The grants that we sponsored for the tribes this year are going to total a little over $1 million. And then we're also helping another tribe out of state. So we continue to diversify by expanding our footprint. And what that does for us is it spreads out our credit risk, and then it also diversifies our revenues. So we're not dependent on just single or sole customers. And that was one of the initiatives in our strategic plan we identified a couple of years ago, is we were too reliant on a small group of large customers. And so we took steps to diversify that, and that's starting to bear fruit. So overall, the bank is doing well. And then lastly, our last large remaining problem loan got resolved on September 29th. So if you went on the internet and you look at our past due ratios, they're at the lowest level in like 6 years. So we had one large kind of problem child in the portfolio. They sold the property, paid off our loan. We took a little shortfall, but it really helped improve our numbers significantly. And these are the kind of statistics and data points that our regulators look at. So I know that the next time that they're in for an examination, you know, every year for the last 5 years, we've had improvements in all the balance sheet and income statement metrics that our regulators look at, and they've been real happy with the improvements. So the next time they come in, I think they're going to be even more pleased that we continue to make improvements and strengthening the balance sheet of the bank. Today, there's a little over $12 million in equity, and it's at its highest level in probably a decade. So balance sheet's pretty strong.
All right. Any questions or comments on the report?
No. I'll make a motion to accept the Bay Bank Corporation Fiscal 17 Fourth Quarter Report.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote.
When's Kashina going to be open?
Well, Chairman Gary Bisaw wants it open like now, but it does take a little bit of time. So what our board is looking at now is the financial impact and making sure that it's going to be profitable. So the steps to charter another office is our board approves it. Management writes a plan for the board to review. And so that, keep in mind, the board members have fiduciary responsibilities. They have to make sure that this is going to be good for the bank from a strength standpoint. So we write our business plan, which is, we're putting finishing touches on that. We want to get approval from the Menominee legislature that they really want this. So we're ramping up to make that presentation.
So is that then, getting a resolution from the Menominee Council?
That's the plan. A yes in writing. But then the other mechanical steps are banking is dual regulated. You got your federal regulators, which is the FDIC, and then you have the state of Wisconsin. So you submit your business plan, and there's an actual application you fill out to describe what you're doing and why. And they turn those around pretty quickly. The state is usually faster than the feds. But because the bank's in a strong financial condition, it should sail through. But you still have to go through all those mechanical steps and get those approvals in writing. So I don't have a perfect timeline on it yet, but it's really solidifying the commitment between the bank and the Menominee Tribe. And if they really want it to go forward, you know, then we have the basis to submit those applications and really kind of jump through all those hoops and get what we need in writing. Thank you.
No further questions? All right, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda is we have to accept the Oneida ESC Group LLC Fiscal Year 17 Fourth Quarter Report. So, Jeff, you just want to go over some highlights?
Sure.
Thank you.
I thought
I thought I'd talk more about what's happened since quarter end or year end. As you already know, we've finished the year up 13%, and that includes OTI, MS2, and SRS. But since then, we've had some good news. We've received about a 4% pop in our backlog. So we were awarded some contracts and some task orders beginning of last week, actually, and this week. So that was good. And then there's probably another 4 or 5% in play where we expect to win. We've had good conversations, but we haven't negotiated a contract and signed anything yet. So we expect another 4 or 5%. So that's good news since the year end that we reported. A couple other highlights. We are developing a sales team. We've never really had sales forecasting. Usually we look at the bid and proposal in the federal markets, and we can make our best determinations there. But we're formalizing more metrics that we can report out that'll be easier for the committee and the boards to measure our activity and the overall response to that activity. So making so many calls a month, what's the activity, what kind of contracts are we chasing, who's our competition, that kind of stuff. So I'll just be more formalized. We did that on the bid side of the world, but now we're going to do more of the sales team side of the world. The other piece is that one of the key wins that we did get in the fourth quarter was Fort Leavenworth. Now, this is a situation where it's a new technology, possibly new customer, new type of work, whereas the firefighting equipment for aviation fuel fires, there's a chemical added to the water that helps douse the fire, and that's getting into the groundwater and drinking water systems. So this is a kind of a pilot project, and if we are successful here, this could lead to a lot of work down the road. So that's kind of a key one we want to keep an eye on. It's considered high risk because it's a new customer. It's kind of new technology. One of our key people went back to CH2M Hill that was on the driver of this proposal, so we have some personnel stuff we have to make up there. But this is something that the committee wants to keep an eye on and follow, in my opinion. So we'll keep you updated on what's happening there. So those are the couple highlights since year end or since quarter end.
Any questions on the report, Ernie?
Just so I understand the process, looking at under, I think it's C, you're talking about the subsidiaries.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at how, when you market and start looking at different projects, you're seeing OTI will basically market those opportunities and gain the, get those opportunities as OTI, and then if it fits into MS2 SRS's portfolio, so to speak, they would then say, okay, this is you're handling this as MS2 or SRS. Is that kind of how it happens when you actually take the project on?
So really what's happening now is that all the marketing has moved up to the OSC level, the parent company level. And they're out marketing, and they're using staff from OTI, SRS, and MS2 to talk to customers. So, for example, we won the Rodman gun range for the NAFVAC Southwest or Southeast. That was really going to be an MS2 project, but we put the personnel into SRS because we felt that was a better fit, and we have longer 8A there. That doesn't mean OTI can't come in and do some other work that we might identify being there.
Okay.
So it's really OESC is the marketing arm, and they'll try to determine who the best team would be. And that doesn't mean SRS doesn't get a contract and sub out some of the work to OTI and be a teaming partner, if you will. We don't have to formalize that. There's still a contract between the two companies that by law. We have to track all those transactions. But we don't have to formalize a teaming agreement. We just have to put it in a proposal that some of this will be worked subbed out to OTI or MS2 and so forth. So it's kind of a joint marketing, if you will, if that answers your question a little more directly.
It's kind of like, it's kind of like, I kind of understand, I kind of want to clarify that part. So I understand just like down the road, seeing how startups work, that's how you're doing it, right? You're building them up, feeding them their portfolio, so to speak, with existing employees. And then at some point, it's kind of like you might just finalize who's there, how it operates, and they can do their own marketing at some point. Is that kind of the goal?
Yeah, keep in mind we're seller doers. So the guys at SRS, the people at SRS, are out talking to customers and trying to promote SRS and so forth. But they may uncover a construction opportunity that isn't theirs, and so they'll bring up the OESC or bring in MS2 with them as a partner. But you have the umbrella of OESC driving bid and proposal, trying to drive that metrics I just talked about. What are you doing, SRS, to get more business? What are you doing, MS2? So they have their own individual people, seller doers, But at the same time, we have OESC at the top trying to formulate that a little bit more, define that process.
All right. Thanks.
Any further questions on the report on committee?
Make a motion to accept the report.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any more discussion? Kirby? Not this time. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jeff, the knees retirement over here.
This is God talking to you.
December 1st.
December 1st party. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right. Thank you.
My phone's in my bag.
Thank you.
All right, we're on to the Oneida Seven Generations Corporation Fiscal Year 17 Fourth Quarter Report. Can you just give us some brief highlights?
Sure. I have approximately three highlights. We continue to manage the 15 properties and 30 commercial lease on behalf of the nation. Today, actually earlier, we signed a short-term note with Bay Bank for a couple hundred thousand dollars for improvements for South Packerland. We started some construction over there. You'll see it's right next to Tony Roma's there. It's where NIGA's office are. We're redoing the roof, the EFIS, some concrete work, some siding. Just a little history for some of the newer council folks. We're about 25 years old, so we're right at that 20-year mark with all of our maintenance and all of our upkeep on the buildings. That particular building is still owned by Department of Land Management, and it's tough sometimes to get financing if we don't have the bill of sale. So we're working with Department of Land Management to make sure that we have the building of the sale, and then we'll continue on with the land lease there. We did the same thing with West Mason. That was under our auspice, but we didn't actually own title to it. So there's already been a precedent set, and so we're working with Pat Pelkey and those folks to get that done. And I think it's significant to mention in this forum, we're a tribal corporation working with another tribal corporation who's hired on tribal contractors. So the dollar doesn't leave Oneida. We know everybody's touching it before it leaves, which is that's why you set these corporations up. And so we're really proud to have Oneida people there working, as well as using Bay Bank and having a good relationship with those folks to borrow the money and pay them back. So that's what it's all about for us. The last highlight I have is the 2932 restaurant. As you know, there'll be a soft opening tonight, kind of an invite thing, but it actually opens. It'll be called Old 29 Cafe. It'll be open Monday morning, 6 a.m. to the public. 6 to 2, it'll be a breakfast and a limited lunch menu. So please go over there and support our tribal member. Again, that's another tribal member who's going to be running that. And it's always had its issues, but we've hopefully do our best to support him and his efforts over there.
How long is his lease out there?
I believe we signed a 12-year lease with a couple of options in there. So we gave him a year. Oh, I'm sorry, 12-month. I apologize. A year lease. A year lease with, yeah. Yeah, he's in there forever. He doesn't get a chance to leave. Yeah, yeah. I wish we had him for 12. Yeah. If he would have signed it, I would have signed it.
So. Any additional questions from the committee?
You tell that by the color of my face, like when it starts to get all red. That's how it felt. No, I understand. I appreciate that.
Just your passion. Thank you for all the work you're doing with that.
Yeah. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Any additional questions or comments on the report?
I know what you meant.
A motion to accept the report would be in order.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Motion to adjourn at 1:53 will be in order.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to adjourn. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you, everybody.